Lane, go ahead. You're calling me. Ring. Hello.
Hey, Rob. I subscribe to your text messages for your business. I think they're great.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'm glad. Thank you.
Yeah. I love the coupons you send. I'm there all the time.
Excellent.
But you know, I want to make sure you're aware of something that you may not be aware of.
Okay.
So,
and that's the hard part, because once you get to that point, how do you go through that? Well, welcome back, everybody. The Slow Pitch Podcast. We're kicking it off again. We got another topic to talk about. And hey, Lane, how are we doing over there?
Not bad.
That's good. That's good. I know the other day you and I were talking, and you got a new product that you're selling over there. And what's going on with that? What are you guys doing?
It's going pretty good, but I found that some people just don't realize what's coming.
Oh, interesting. Well, what do you mean by that? Maybe we should tell the listeners what you're adding on, and we can see if we can figure that out.
The big thing is, the couple of the big carriers, AT&T, Mobile, are implementing a new system to combat text message spam. You know, you and I don't like getting our email filled with spam. I don't think either of us want to see that happen to our phones with text messaging either. So there's some new rules coming in to help prevent that.
Interesting. So that's going to be a new sales thing that you're going to have to work through. That's a whole new set of problems, isn't it, that you're going to have to try to fight against. How are you going to sell that?
Yeah, I'm hoping you have some insights for me, because I'm not 100% sure.
All right. Well, let's work on that then. How do we get new buyers on something that we're already trying to sell, or we're adding on to a service? And you know what? Sometimes they think they need it. Sometimes they don't. How do you get somebody to buy something even though you know they need it, or they need a change? How are you going to do that? Let's get through that. If you're new here, I'm Rob.
And I'm Lane.
And today we're going to talk about inspiring people to buy. So let's get started.
This is the Slow Pitch Podcast.
Lane, you've probably never gotten a call from somebody that's trying to sell you something that you feel like you don't need it at all.
Never.
No, yeah. So I'm sure. And then they try to tell you this is really something you really need. This is a problem you don't even know is there. You need to get this thing because it's going to fix that problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that makes you want to buy, doesn't it?
Never.
Never. Never. Today, I think it's really important that we kind of get through, here's what you should do to structure a sales call or a message and plan ahead a little bit so that you can actually get people to understand what your product is without having to try to sell it so hard. I mean, most people, when they get a call that somebody's telling you this is what you need, that doesn't work very well. So how do you work your way around that? And what are the questions you should be asking, and how do you position yourself to get the sale rather than feeling like you're never going to get the sale because you're constantly in this uphill battle? I think it's important that we kind of get into the meat of this here. So Lane, I don't know how you're going to start the conversation. Like, who are you selling this to?
It's a useful service for many small businesses, you know, restaurants, you know, doctor's offices, accountants. You know, everyone's got a slightly different use case as to how it could be beneficial for their business and for their customers. For me, I look at it two different ways. One, for someone that thinking about using text messaging, but they're not already. And the other is for anyone that is using text messaging, but they may not be aware of the changes that are coming down the road.
All right. Let's assume that you're going to be talking to somebody that is already using text messages. They're okay. Already using them, don't even realize what's coming, because you said there's going to be some changes. So describe to me a little more detail, not a lot, but just a little bit of detail about what some of the changes, how that could affect me. If I'm running text messages already to promote, how would that affect me? And I don't even know it. How would that affect me?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the provider you're using and how they're sending your messages and what number you're using. If you're using your own, what's called a 10-digit long code, you and I would just consider that a regular phone number.
Okay. But,
you know, the difference between that is the 10-digit long code versus that 5 or 6-digit short code that we see some people using. Those are really expensive. Some providers allow their customers to share those short codes to kind of keep the costs in check.
All right. So just so I'm understanding and make sure that I got it, you're saying that when I see somebody telling me to text 12345 to this other number, it's a really short number, you're talking about that kind of a thing, right? You're not saying text it to this long number that's a normal phone number. It's text it to 777777 and that's it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And you're like, that's not a phone number. Why am I texting it to that? Yeah, that's what you're talking about?
Those are the short codes, correct.
Okay. These are the text programs that somebody might be using that you might be sharing with somebody else.
Yeah, that's one of the more common uses of the short codes where, you know, 20 businesses might have the same short code and it's text Rob to 77778. And then you can get messages just from Rob. I don't know who 77778 is. So I don't recommend anyone actually texting that because you never really know what you're going to get.
Right. So that's a situation where in the future, you're saying that a couple of carriers are going to make that very difficult. And as a user, I don't even know that's going to happen necessarily, right?
Right. So, AT&T and T-Mobile, that will actually be banned. It's not permitted any longer.
So if I'm a business, let's say I'm a restaurant and I have a special and I use that number and I text it out to let people subscribe using that number. And now I send out texts via that number. Some of these carriers are just not going to let that go through to their phone.
Yep. They'll just filter it out, consider it spam. The other thing with 10-digit long codes, so even if you're using your own 10-digit long code, you will now be required to register your business to that phone number and the types of messages you send, and they will determine based on your business and the message you send what the risk factor is for you as a business, and that will affect how many messages a day you can send. But if you're not registered, you'll just be filtered. I mean, your messages, you'll be paying your provider to send a message that never gets delivered.
So if I'm that restaurant and you called me and said, hey, this is coming, how would you sell that? Like, what's your approach? How would you do that?
If I know they're using that shared short code, or they're using another service that may not be aware of these filtering rules coming up, my goal is to try to educate them as to what it is. That they may not buy from me, but at the end of the day, they still need to know what's coming down the road.
Yeah. And you probably wouldn't have a conversation that goes something along the lines of, hey, this is coming up and you need to really switch away because, like, if you're their competitor, this 7-digit code or whatever, how many digits usually?
Five, sometimes six. Yeah.
Five, sometimes six digits. If you're calling them, would you say something like you don't want to use that carrier or that person anymore, that company anymore to send out your text messages? Because I know for a fact that they are not going to know this rule is coming up. I mean, would you ever say that?
No, I would never approach it like that. I think that's kind of dirty. But I think if I can at least explain what's coming and answer the questions that yes, we're doing it the right way, that maybe the connection will be made.
Yeah, and so I asked that question because a lot of people out there would actually approach it and say you're going to be in a problem here if you don't fix this, and you got to fix it now before it becomes a problem. You don't have your text going through. And so what Lane is saying is true. You need to educate a lot. You need to make sure that you don't try to force somebody to make a decision to change, to switch, to do anything different. Because if you do that, the automatic inclination for somebody receiving that is going to be, I don't believe you, and therefore I'm doing nothing. Or thank you for the information, get off my phone, and I'm going to talk to somebody else, because they don't like that approach necessarily. So it is the right way to do it. How would you start the call? I mean, if you're going to call somebody, how would you start that whole conversation up? What would that go like? If you're calling me right now, and again, if you're listening, think about how you would approach a call and how you would tell somebody, this is an issue that's coming up that you're going to run into. You don't even know it's going to be a problem. So Lane, go ahead. You're calling me. Ring. Hello.
Hey, Rob. I subscribe to your text messages for your business. I think they're great.
Oh, great. Cool. Thank you. I'm glad. Thank you.
Yeah. I love the coupons you send. I'm there all the time.
Excellent.
But I want to make sure you're aware of something that you may not be aware of.
Okay.
So
and that's the hard part, because once you get to that point, how do you go through that? But honestly, there is nothing wrong with a little stumble and a little struggle in the beginning of a phone call, particularly a cold call, because it buys two things. One, it gets their attention. Two, it makes them want to listen. And they want to go, what is this person trying to tell me? This sounds like it's pretty serious. It's kind of one of those situations where there's a natural inclination. If somebody's struggling, you stop and you listen. Have you ever been to a play or to a show where somebody, like particularly with kids, not so much the professionals, but when there's kids and they're up on stage and they're going through their lines, and all of a sudden little Jimmy or whoever just stops and just like stares into the audience and everybody's like holding their breath. It's the same type of thing with a cold call. And it's the same type of thing with this type of call too. So there is nothing wrong with stumbling and struggling. That's actually a good thing. And the cool part is if you've been doing this a long time, you know that it works, but you might have forgotten that it's effective. So don't worry about doing something like that. Now, you've stumbled. Now what?
Well, I totally meant to do that, Rob. So
that's what I thought.
Thanks for giving away the secret. I guess at that point, that's where I probably need to craft my message a little bit more. But
right. So I think one of the things that you'll want to do next is before the call is have your bullet points of what you want to talk about. Remember the 30-second sales pitch that we did a while back in another episode? We explain the issue in the form of their problem or their pain. I think you might have to say something along the lines to get their attention. Have you ever run into a situation when you're texting these things out or these coupons out where you have a little lower response rate? Not as many people reply as normal. And they may say, yeah, every once in a while. What would happen if that lower response rate not only happened every once in a while, but the entire response rate dropped by 50 to 70%. Would that be an issue, or you still would be okay with 50% of them being successful and the rest of them not? So in other words, if you got 100 text messages that came back that actually were normally redeemed, and now it dropped from the 100 to 50 being redeemed, would that be okay? And what would their response be possibly?
It would probably be, well, I wouldn't like that very much. They're not likely to have the return on their investment of sending those text messages isn't going to be as high as it was.
Right. And so if they said to you, well, that wouldn't be a very good return on my investment, then you would say, yeah, I would imagine. Boy, is that something we should talk about for a minute? Because that's potentially what's going to be happening in this industry coming soon. I don't know if you know that or not. You probably didn't. Maybe you did know that. Did you know that already? Because you always want to put them in a position of being smarter than you, being better than you, without being like submissive, if you will, to them. You're an equal, but you want them to think that they're in control of the conversation, right? So by asking that question, they're going to be like, you know, I kind of read, if they lie, they're going to say, I kind of saw something like that about that. I don't remember what it was. Tell me. But they don't know, but they're asking you to tell them.
Yeah.
Or they're going to say, I had no idea. They'll be honest. I had no idea. No, what do you mean? And at least you can answer that question, right? And if they say, yeah, tell me, I don't know, you could still tell them, right? So, I figured you probably did know that already. Give them a little compliment, right? Nothing wrong with that. But then tell them, listen, so one of the issues that we're reading about is there's a couple carriers, and you don't know who all of your customers are and what carriers they use. Right. So you're using this number and it's being forced out to all the carriers, all the phone carriers. If the ones that are on, let's say, just as an example, AT&T, it could be Verizon, it could be whatever. But if those no longer worked very well, that could be an issue. And the reason that could happen, it sounds like, is they're saying, hey, we don't want garbage on our phones. And so they're kind of stopping people from pushing out coupons that they feel are not legitimate. Now yours obviously are. I see them and I get them, but they're looking at it and saying, you're using the same 5 or 6 digit code that everybody else is using. And guess what? This other Joe Blow down the street, his messages aren't so cool. They're not so good. They're not so legitimate. And so this company, this carrier is going to say, therefore none of them are, and you may not get delivered through those folks on that particular carrier. Is that going to be an issue for you? I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe you guys have such a great business. It doesn't even matter. I just want to make sure you knew. And in that conversation, how do you think they're going to respond?
They're definitely going to be concerned about how this is going to hit their business.
Yeah. And if you hear them pausing and thinking, you can tell they're thinking, the easier, the best question to ask them next is, do you want to talk about that a little bit? How do you want to deal with that? And put that on them to see what they want to do. Because if they say to you next, we need to deal with that, because that's where we get 30 or 40% of our business right now. And if half of that drop, now we're down, there's another 15% of our business that's not going to be there, or 20%. I can't do that. I got rent to pay. It's bad enough already with the pandemic that we just went through. What am I supposed to do now? No, I'm not doing that. Help me. What do I do? And that's really what you want. And that's opened the conversation. What happens after they say that to you? What do you think you should say next?
Well, I guess that really opens the door to, I have a solution that will help you with this and can help you save those messages and those advertising dollars.
That could be. So depending on, again, we're just using this as an example or a scenario, right? If you're in a business where you have a one call and a get a sale, and that's normal, whether you're trying to cold call or not, if that's normal, then you could ask for that sale essentially, right? You could kind of work your way toward that. Like, should we talk about getting you signed up on something a little different? But if your job or your business is more about building trust and longer term relationships and so forth, then really what you're looking to do is to create that next meeting. And you say, listen, when they ask you, hey, yeah, let's talk, your response might be, if you're trying to build long-term relationships, to say, oh gosh, we could go through this. We could spend about probably another 30, 40 minutes talking about this and figuring out what the best avenue is. Can I recommend maybe it's not the good thing, maybe it is, but would you be okay if we just scheduled another time? Because I didn't mean to take up time right now. I don't know that now is a good time anyway. I just called to find out. I got the text message a while back and I thought I needed to call you. Should we set up another meeting or another phone call, an in-person meeting, whatever that might be, so that we can talk through these things and see what some of the options are? Really, your goal is to get a meeting. It's not so much to make a sale in some of these cases, right? It's a balance. If you're a one and done, yeah, ask for the sale. Work your way through that next conversation, which is, hey, maybe we should talk about, there's some options here that could prevent that from happening. And that means quite simply not using the same 5-6 digit number that everybody else is using, rather using your own dedicated one. Have you ever thought about doing that? And you want to talk about how to get that done and work them to that next stage, right? Or you're going to be building a relationship and trying to get another call. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
You're welcome, restaurant owner. That's no problem.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
To me, I think the most important part of any call or any meeting is how you position the issue and how you ask the questions. And the key to that is really keeping them in mind. So what is it that the potential buyer wants? Is it going to cause problems for them? Is there going to cause a pain? We talked about pain one time before. And if that's going to cause a pain or a problem, then you should probably deal with that at that time. If it's not, and they have no issues, they have a zero interest, then no worries. I didn't think so. Get off the phone, right? Yeah. But if they do, then it's probably time to ask a couple questions. And should we ask for another meeting? That's the other question. Will they survive if they don't have any of these issues? Yes. Like, for example, in this case, Lane, if they had their existing system and they told you, I don't think that's going to impact me much at all, what do you do then?
I think my answer would just be, okay, that's great. I'm glad you don't think that's going to have an impact for you. But if down the road you find that you are seeing some problems and you want to talk about it, feel free to give me a call.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Or maybe say, you know, would you mind if I checked in with you in 3 or 6 months to see if everything's still working well for you?
Yeah, I think that's the other way to do it. And then the other add-on that I would add to that, it would be, hey, do you have an email address? I'll email you my contact information so you can reach out. If these things start to impact you, there's some things that you can do pretty quickly to resolve the issue on a short-term basis. And then we build into this other side. So listen, I didn't want to pretend that you had this problem at all, but I can send you a quick email. You have all my contact. You can also check me out a little bit, but I want to make sure that you knew this issue was coming up. What if they tell you, hey, I'm just going to go back to the guy, the business that I work with now and get this fixed. I'm going to deal with that with them.
Perfect.
Okay.
You know, if you still run into issues down the road, I'd still be happy to talk to you one.
Yeah. Later. And my guess would be they'd never tell you that. They would just go do that, right?
Yeah, most likely their next call is going to be to their provider and say, hey, what's this guy talking about?
Yes. And the other thing to know is by doing that, and this is a double-edged sword, by doing that, you're making them question how good of a provider they are, right? You're making them think, man, they didn't even tell me this. This is my own provider. I'm paying them and they didn't even tell me.
Yeah.
The double edge is if you have clients and somebody's making this call on you and you haven't told your own clients,
right,
the same thing can happen to you. So be aware. And there are tools and tactics that you can use to keep your clients educated so that you're less likely to lose it to another provider of some form, whether that's your own business style or whatever the type is, you won't lose it so easily. I think to wrap all this up is, I think I would recommend, if you have a new product or a new service or a new approach that you're doing, I think you need to write out what is it exactly that your product does for your potential clients or your existing clients. Why do they need it? What do they need? And I think the other layer to this, and we didn't really get into this on this particular episode, Lane, is how do you know you're talking to the right person? And I think that's a critical component. We'll get into that in another episode. But talking to the right person to make sure that they're the decision maker and not just the person that can say no. And then also, how do you know that they need it? So make sure that you look at their business first and then figure out, does it even fit into their business? And then phrase everything so that your assumption is that they're all fine, but you just want to make sure, right? So that's kind of how I would wrap it up, all nice and tidy. But to me, I think there's a lot to be said about keeping people informed of your own clients first, and then reaching out to those that you can help who are not being serviced later. And that'll make a big difference for your bottom line. With that, we will see you next episode. See you, Lane.
See you, Rob.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Slow down and close more.